You are listening to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
Welcome back to the Fununcle Podcast. I am your Fununcle Dude, joined as always by your Fununcle Brandon.
Yay, yay.
And your Fununcle Cooney.
Boom, 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 boom.
What's up, boys? It's been a minute.
Yeah, a lot of things have happened.
I think it's been like a month since our last episode.
Yeah, maybe a little over.
The last one was with the fighters.
Yeah.
Cam and them.
No, we did one after that.
Hmm. Yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of things have happened in our lives that kind of prevented us from doing this. A lot of unforeseen events.
You know, life.
Yeah. Like drastic changes in life for for people, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Got BK over here in pain.
Barely move.
Motherfucker thinks he's 17 still. skating around.
Nah, it's old when you get injured without injury. Like, there wasn't like a dramatic event. Like, you just wake up and you're like, I can't move.
Fucking weird. Like, you didn't have to bail. You said you just planted your foot, right?
I think so. I don't know. It's a mystery, and it's fucking annoying. It's some old man shit for sure.
We about to be 40, man. This is when you probably hurt your back a couple times when you were younger, but didn't realize, and now it's just creeping up on you. You know,
this shit pops out easier. Almost 45.
Huh? So, I'm almost 45. I'll be 43 this year.
Shit. Can't be doing shit like you used to.
Brian, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Why is it, do you think? And I asked Brandon this yesterday.
Okay.
Why is it, do you think, that, you know, everybody on Earth here is human, mm-hmm. right? We all bleed blood.
Right.
Why do you think we all have different blood types? Like, what's the point?
That's actually a good question. And you can even have, like, a different blood type from your whole family, which is weird. And there's only one blood type that matches all three, the other two.
Yeah, that like special.
O positive?
Yeah, O positive.
Yeah, it's like a universal donor.
That's actually a very good question. I would have to learn more about it, but yeah, I'm stumped on that. I've never even looked into it, but I never even wondered.
Like, I'm sure I could Google
it. What do you think?
I'm sure I could Google it and like find out at least like something.
Yeah, like a little. Like,
but couple different good ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say like I wonder if there's, you know, if you're a certain blood type, like, I wonder if certain blood types are more prone to, like, hypertension.
Yes.
Or, you know, shit like that.
Right, yeah. I think different blood types probably are more prone to different diseases.
Or just, like, you know, bad circulation.
Right. And it's weird that, you know, a lot of things are hereditary, but blood types aren't.
Right.
That's weird.
Do you guys know your blood types?
No. Actually, I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
No, what's weird about the... I feel like if there's, like, studies that... Because, you know, like, people do, like, IQ studies and, like, there is a connection between, like, IQ levels and race, but no one likes talking about that kind of shit because it's a little sketchy, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't go all in on the idea that everybody's worth something and we all, you know, deserve like a bit of respect as an individual, you know what I mean? Like that.
Asians are hella smart.
Well, yeah, the Hasidic Jews test higher, browner folks test lower. It's like that shit's kind of universal, but everyone's like, no, that's horseshit. It's because the tests are skewed this way or that way. It's like, I don't know if that's true. What if folks are just different, you know, and that's fine. Like I said, you got to come at it from this whole idea that we all deserve right. that bit of human dignity and that nobody's worthless or there's no one ultimately better or worse. It's just different, you know what I mean? People have different attributes of shit. So I wonder if there's something similar with like blood types that people just like, there's hard science that points and indicates a couple of things that just aren't that easy for a tolerant, free society to accept. You know what I mean? Like, what if you just found out this overarching trend that all these O positive motherfuckers are like just better at a bunch of shit? You know what I mean? Like, or just something, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if there's any sort of like blood studies that are kind of like, oh shit. Because you get into, like, eugenics and how people thought of that whole scene. It's like, I wonder if there's any science, so to speak, behind blood types like that.
Yeah, that's actually a very good observation. I wonder that, too.
I forgot what made me think of it. It was something stupid that I was watching.
Were you smoking weed?
No, I was at work, and I was on TikTok, and I forgot what made me fucking think of it. But I was like, why the fuck do we have different blood types?
It was a movie clip, you said.
Yeah, but I can't remember what it was. It's fucking annoying.
I'm actually going to look into... I want to look into that, actually. I'm gonna look into that this week. I'm gonna do a little digging on that. That's a very interesting topic. I'm actually interested in it now.
What if, like, guys with, like, certain blood types are just, like, prone to having massive hogs?
I was just going to say that.
Like, just shit like that. Yeah. Like, whatever there could be. Like, is there any trends, like, just obvious ones that are point blank, but we just don't know it in the general population? Because
it's
little sketchy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like a study topic. Or if it is a study topic, it's a topic that could come out and kind of, like, you know, be biased towards a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like black people, they're the only people that suffer from
sickle cell,
yeah.
That's what I mean. There's got to be something to it that we just don't know about because everyone who does know about it's like, ah.
Plus, they got that extra muscle on their leg.
Oh, remember right? that shit when we were kids?
Yeah. Shoot, they all have extra muscles. Like,
it's so funny when you, like, say something like that and everyone's like, that's not cool, bro. And it's like, bro, I got cousins that have not worked out in 30 fucking years.
And they look like ripped.
And they're cut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, that shit makes a difference, bro.
Eat McDonald's every day.
What'd that comedian say? Motherfuckers were bred like pit bulls for 400 years in this country. Like, some of these boys are going to just be naturally fucking brutish.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, and then you got the Idaho potato eat motherfuckers, just white big motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're always gonna have those
big, like, corn fed boys.
Yeah, like big Ohio fucking boys,
right? You know?
All that shit.
Who knows? I bet you there is though. I bet you there's some old Nazi fucking study like blood type that blows everyone's mind.
Right, everybody with like blonde hair and blue eyes is the same fucking blood type.
Right.
Whoops.
Red hair has like a majority certain blood type.
You know what's funny is last week, the company I work for, we had like a company virtual meeting, you know?
Mm.
And there was you don't see everybody on the screen. You just see like maybe 12, and then there's like another page with another 12 and, you know, so on and so forth. And the first page that was shown for me, there was this guy and girl. They run one of our facilities in Colorado, and they're either husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, but they live on site and sometimes they have their baby on camera, but they're both fucking blonde hair and blue eyes. And I remember texting like my old assistant manager, cause he was on the call too. I was like, look at these fucking master race motherfuckers.
It's kind of like Dwight. Remember when he's giving away the fucking...
From the office?
It's like an Asian kid, a white kid, and a black kid, I think, sitting on the little thing, and he's giving away the trophy, and he's like...
Pure breed.
Yeah, pure breed. Pure breed. Half breed. And you're like, dude, that's fucking funny. See? I mean, dude, it's funny because you watch old episodes of even The Office and you're like, this episode would not fly right now, bro. People would be super pissed about this.
No, the one where fucking, like, everybody finds out Oscar's gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and some people were like, didn't want to talk to him.
You
want
to see a gnarlier one? I was like binging Cheers one night. I couldn't sleep. And there's that whole episode about the gay guy that starts to frequent it and like, Norm, you know what I mean? Like, the regulars aren't fucking happy, bro. They're like, what the fuck is this bullshit, bro? Get him out of here. And you're like, damn, that would not be okay right now.
But, and you know what's weird, though, is that there's a lot more gay people popping up nowadays. And, okay, I got two questions. So, do you think that it's influenced from social media?
No. Nobody's influenced to be gay.
Right, okay.
I don't believe that for a second. I think young people are definitely influenced.
Or do you think it has to do with the shit that's in the water that made the frogs gay?
Bro, that shit the best.
I mean, it's the fact that it's more widely accepted. Like, it's 2023.
Well, think about it.
It's not 1973.
I know, but think about it. If the frogs live in the water.
If you're having me think about what the fuck you said, like, I've thought about it already, and it's fucking retarded.
Well, not really. Not if you think about it.
There are people that have like put together some pretty decent like argument that like the water does have something to do with it, which is fucking. If that's true, that is bonkers.
There's a chemical. It starts with an A. I forget what it's called, but there's a chemical in the water.
We get the premise, man. We don't need you to like explain this shit.
Anal sex.
And if you look at it, the frogs lived in the water, and if they turned gay before humans, they would be the first indication to say, well. This water is turning the frogs gay.
But what's frogs, it gonna do to us? Frogs aren't exclusive to like one fucking region in like the entire fucking world.
No, but they
world.
Live in the water that we drink. So if it's affecting them, what do you think it can do to us?
Here's what I'll say. If you drink Arrowhead, I think you're gay.
No, I'm talking about tap water, not bottled water.
I know.
But we don't drink tap water in Vegas, though.
You know what's funny? I've seen people like... people have come in to my office to ask if they could use the restroom, right? And then I'll see them bust out a fucking, like a water bottle. And then I hear the bathroom faucet going and they come out chugging. I'm like, I could have given you water.
Yeah.
Like clean fucking not Vegas tap water.
Yeah. I've never drinking. Tap water. Like, I mean, I'll drink tap water after I brush my teeth. I'll take a couple sips in the morning and stuff. Whatever. Sips.
But that's like, I'll fucking rinse my mouth out with tap water.
Like, yeah, I'm drinking mad tap water back in the day, like out of the hose and shit when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's tap water.
I also didn't grow up in Vegas.
It's fucking hot out here. And our tap water is like famously bad, right? Like, because Lake Mead, it had like a percentage of rocket fuel one year.
Really?
The snails, bro. When we were kids, it was like famously bad water.
Yeah.
When you guys were kids, like, what was the biggest story out here? Like, from your like late elementary to junior high years?
I remember the expansion. They'd always talk about how we were growing and like there'd be three new schools every year and they didn't know how to zone them and like that. Because when you're a kid getting zoned in the summers versus track schools, like that shit was like when you're little, that was a big deal.
And then a lot of your friends get disconnected from a lot of your friends because they go to a different school.
Yeah, that was a big thing when we were little. When we were kids, it was like the population explosion of Las Vegas. That was like famous. You know what I mean? It was like the number one growing place for like 6 years in a row. Yeah,
and it still is today now.
It's still doing it, but not at the disgusting rate it was before. It was crazy before.
Oh, you dirty Californians.
Well, I used to show Liz all the time, dude. I lived in LA for 10 years and I'd come back here and I'd be like, this was a fucking parking lot when I lived here. Now it's like my mom's house was like the end of the world back in the day. Yeah. Like it was that.
And now it's the middle of
Vegas.
Now
it's the middle of town. Yeah. No, that's real shit, dude. I say that all the time. Like my mom's house was surrounded by desert and fucking.
And all it took was 30 years.
I mean.
30 years. We were at the edge. And then now 30 years later, it's the middle.
Bro, Eastern and Wigwam was the end.
Yeah.
Like Silverado was one of the last things you saw before you saw like the 15 and shit. Yep. Like now Southern Highlands and Seven Hills.
And Inspirada.
Like it's fucking bonkers how this place is blown up. It really is.
And then you can even go to Summerlin too.
There is what are other like fun things that would happen, dude? Like back in the day, they used to have those like implosions and shit.
Oh, remember? Yeah,
those like when fun, they did the like the Stardust and all that shit. Yeah, that's why motherfuckers from Vegas don't believe that 9/11 shit for a second,
because we watched shit on television.
When people say it's like, hey man, I think that was demolition. And you're like, it most certainly was, dog.
Say, we know.
For sure it was, if you've ever seen that shit. Bro, you could be across the street at that controlled demolition. Like, that's how controlled it was.
Right.
You could be on the street, just on the other side, mm-hmm. and you'd watch a whole giant thing just fold up, collapse perfectly. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what that looked like. Yeah. Who knows, but...
Yeah, those were fun times when we were kids. Just those little, yeah...
The cheap hotels or the Klondike and Boardwalk and all those fucking places.
Where you could play dollar blackjack.
All that fun shit. Yeah, they don't have none of that shit no more.
And they didn't care about your fake IDs.
Right, you could walk up and gamble. You could sit at a table with a fucking a cocktail napkin that says, I'm 21 in Cran.
Yeah,
right. Lady was like, all right, that's cool. You're good.
And then $20 night rooms or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everything was cheaper back in the day across the board, but it did seem like there was an element of Las Vegas that, like, that was their thing. Just super inexpensive shit. Dollar all-you-can-eat pancakes, dollar rum and cokes, right. Dollar fucking margaritas. Like, you got to really search for that shit now.
You can find that shit at fucking Jackpot Joanie's and Dottie's and all that
Some
shit.
Some of those, yeah. Those,
yeah, but it's not as good as what...
A casino worth. Yeah. It was doper when it was, like, a part of the strip. Now you got to go to... Yeah, jackpots and all those fucking tweaker hangouts, it seems like.
Yeah, right.
Vegas. I mean, the biggest one before, like, 9/11, which was national news, obviously, and the shooting that just happened recently, Tupac was, like, kind of the thing.
Tupac was a big deal.
Everyone was treated. Everyone had their Tupac story. Like, oh, my mom works in a hospital, and he's not dead, bro. They saw him leave, and... Yeah. And then someone else would be like, oh, my mom works for the ambulance service. And he got shot, bro. They saw the body. Like, it was all a ton of, like, if he actually died or not.
Did you guys ever see that video of supposedly it's Michael Jackson getting out of the coroner's van?
Yes, I did see that in England or something, right? Park?
No, it was, like, at, like, the hospital where he was taken to, but, like, underground parking and, like, the camera is, like, far away but, like, zoomed in. And the fucking, you see this little side door, the fucking van stops, guy that looks like MJ pops out, goes to the door.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw a thing where there was a person that, it was a person that looked just like Michael Jackson, and then there was three big bodyguards around him. And I think it was this year, it was in somewhere in England. And as soon as he saw the camera on him, the guy looked just like Michael Jackson, put a manila folder over his face, and bodyguards just went around him and pushed him back away from the camera.
I mean, remember...
It could have been set up, because you know how a lot of kids set up shit nowadays?
Yep.
But the dude looked just like Michael Jackson, but it could have been a personator.
Well, dog, I mean, nowadays with the kind of shit that they do with the fucking deep fakes and the AI and all that shit, it's like, yo, we're not going to be able to believe shit soon.
Speaking of the deep fakes... I hear a lot about, you know, the Kanye West and Drake AI song. Can you please give me a Tupac or Biggie AI song?
I've heard one already.
Yeah.
Timbaland did.
I heard that.
But there's no new, like they're all remixes. Like so.
I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, I just played Biggie doing Hit 'Em Up.
Yeah,
Biggie doing Hit 'Em Up. It's Biggie's voice doing another song. But the Kanye was a whole new song. It was the AI that came up with the lyrics for Kanye, and it sounded just like Kanye. It sounded like an old school Kanye beat, but they haven't done a new AI Tupac song.
So, like, my question for you guys is: would you be okay with a Biggie or Tupac album
if it was good? Yes.
If it was entirely AI generated,
if it was good,
like,
yes.
Pac didn't write any of that shit, Biggie didn't write any of that shit, like. You know, somebody came up with the beats, AI came up with the shit, did the voice, did the lyrics.
I would enjoy the hell out of it. I would, yes.
Even
I would.
Though it's not them.
Yeah. I would enjoy it because, you know what, like, it would just bring back the nostalgic feeling. It would just be like,
see,
you
like,
know what?
But
like,
to me it cheapens it. Like, if it was something where, like,
it,
like, if somebody, you know, if somebody in Pac's estate found like a book of lyrics that he just never recorded.
Oh, he has a bunch of those.
And like you wanted to put an AI voice to those. Okay, because at least Pac wrote
right, at least it's Pac's lyrics. Yeah. But if an AI came up with the lyrics, then it would cheapen it a lot. I would still listen to it.
Super interested. Yeah, it would be funny. Because all they're doing is that, you know, you're feeding this machine all these different examples of this artist, and now you're asking it to use all of those examples and just create a new form. You know what right. I mean? So it's not really him. It's like, it kind of fucking is, though. And you know what I mean? There's no heart behind the lyrics because they're right. all just generated. But when you're talking about like the style and even the lyrics were probably pretty spot on yeah. if they're doing a good enough job.
The Kanye AI lyrics were spot on. Sounded just like him.
That's so crazy.
Well, it's not like his songs are very deep or anything.
It's so gnarly that, I mean, you think of all the scams and all this shit. I mean, all the political unrest that happens now anyways. I mean, you take people that are get taken out of context all the fucking time anyways. Now you're talking about just a complete nonsense quote. No, dog, I saw the video. Be like, cool. That might not have been them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how yeah. fucking bonkers is that?
It's scary about, you know, I saw this thing. It was on, I think it was Joe Rogan I saw where in China, they have their kids and they put like something around their brains to where you know how they have the facial recognition and they have facial recognition on the kids and then they have stuff around their brain to where it can alert the computer and the teachers when the kids aren't paying attention.
That's fucking raw.
You don't have to put anything around their brain. You just have to have something that tracks their eyes.
Yeah, it tracks their eyes, but it's something that controls their brainwaves so that they can tell if they're veering off of a certain topic or not.
What a trip.
Yeah, and then the AI, you know, can generate, you know, like, it's scary, man. Like, and if they keep going with that, man, the Chinese are going to kill us. Like, literally, because they will be robots.
Chinese people?
Yeah, it'll also help AI. You know what I mean? It'll help AI in an immense way because it'll teach the AI how kids are learning, you know what I mean, and how they learn, and then they could take that experience and just...
You can't make people robots because they're people.
No, but the AI would learn from it.
Right. There's a couple
and
of...
create like, their own conscience.
But, like, you can't make a person a robot because you could just kill the person. The
right, thing yeah, is, and that's what I'm saying. The robot would be the one that would end up eventually killing off humanity.
Okay.
That's just my point of view.
There's a couple high-end neuro guys that talk about AI, and they're like, you guys are getting this way wrong. Like, the things that we're worried about aren't, like, the actual things to trip on. It's the idea that we're just letting this aggregate machine become, like, the end-all, be-all. Because that aggregate can get manipulated. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
That's all it's doing is taking all the information about a certain subject and then kind of just putting it all together and spitting it out in a way.
Yeah,
like ChatGPT. Yeah. You see the prompts, be an associate lawyer who needs to blah, 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 blah. And they go, okay. And they get all the information about associate lawyers mm-hmm. and the subject. Yep. And they put together 50-word fucking whatever you asked them for.
Yeah. How long do you think before an AI becomes our new lawyers?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of it. But the idea is that when it gets bigger, when it kind of scales out, they're going to ask it like bigger. We're going to put so much trust into it that when it becomes like a god, a very real lowercase g god, like people are going to have no problem swallowing right. that shit.
Yep.
It's like, oof, careful with that.
I mean, it has to be refined first. Like right now, like all ChatGPT is basically it Google shit for you and puts it into words for you. Like you can, like, and you might, you know, you might give it a prompt about like a certain subject, but it's just getting the top research results mm-hmm. from that search, and it's not, you know, it's not really vetting if it's factual or not.
That's the fucking point.
Exactly.
Is that we're going to put all of our trust into this aggregate mm-hmm. and then without double checking anything, and we're just going to lean right into it.
But it's a thing that people are aware of now, so I think it's just going to be improved upon. But I mean, that's even if it fucking makes it that far. Like,
right.
Italy already fucking banned ChatGPT and, like, some other shit.
Yeah, it just depends on how much the people push back on it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, does, like, going back to, like, using AI for music, do you think this would completely kill off ghostwriters?
You know what? That's a great question. And I do think so.
Probably.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Like, why would you pay somebody to ghostwrite your shit?
Right. When you could just go to ChatGPT or whatever and then have the computer write the lyrics for you and you spit them yourself.
Yep. All you need is a fucking, some, you know, have somebody produce your beats.
Yeah.
Fucking ChatGPT can do the rest for you.
I mean, I guess you already have to be, like, established enough for the ChatGPT to aggregate enough shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if you wanted to write a song as Brandon Kleinholz, the fucking thing would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But if you were, like, a guy who already had work, you know what I mean? An artist who's already pretty prevalent in the world.
To where the
heavy AI, internet presence. Yeah, it'll probably make a pretty sick Brandon song. You know what I mean? Like, whoever the fuck you are.
Yeah, I mean, like, you just have to record, like, your own voice. Like, let's just say you record your voice for it, and you can be like, okay, now create a rap song about this, this, and this, but make it sound like 1998 Nas.
Fun.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of cool things that we can do with AI, but there's also a lot of scary things to come along with it.
It's just the same old tool analogy people always gave. Like a hammer you can build a fucking house with, or you can sink it in someone's skull. You know what I mean? Like, it's up to you to decide what kind of tool it's going to be. You're going to help people with this tool, or you're going to fuck people with this tool.
But at the end of the day, it depends on whose hands it's in.
That's what I mean. Everybody gets a chance. You can either help with this thing, or you can fuck people over with this thing. And, I mean, I'm a Bible guy, so human nature is generally pretty fucking gnarly when it comes to power, money, and getting what you want. It's like, yeah, that's probably not going to flourish. And I mean, the internet's such a good example, bro. Look at all the toxic bullshit and how fucked up the internet makes things when it's like, this thing could have opened us up, brought us together, found unity and multiplicity, it actually made things worse because it's essentially driven by human nature. And this AI, despite it being artificial intelligence, it's still driven by our human nature. So I just don't see a lot of good coming out of it. I mean, again, like a Bible guy, it all goes downhill. You know what I mean? Like, there is no great...
Well, I have a question for you. If they did come up with something when you got older to cure Alzheimer's, but you needed to implant something in your brain, would you implant that in your brain to get rid of your Alzheimer's?
My hard line with using technology to make any changes is that it stops at restoration. You know, if you can get your fucking eyes back, do it. If you can get your hearing back, do it. But when we're talking about implanting shit so you can have, like, eagle vision, so you can be an ultimate soldier, it's like, nah, now you guys are doing too much. Like, that's where my little moral line is. Like, let's just stop it at restoration.
You
restore whatever's fucked off, and that's beautiful.
Use it for healing people.
Yeah, but people, but that's not human nature, dog. No. That Russian fool, he said it perfectly. He goes, dog. It had to do with, like, the alien invasion kind of scene. And he gets asked about, you know, what do you think about Interstellar? Like,
he asked the AI this?
No. It's just a physicist, a philosopher. And he's getting asked about this thing. And he says, I think that any civilization that gets to the point of having that kind of technology will have already fucked itself over before getting to another galaxy. Think of that, bro.
Wow.
Like, we're never going to get to fucking Mars, because by the time we have the technology to get to Mars, we're going to blow each other up because we suck. And that rings more true than anything.
That actually brings me to a question. It's a little off topic, but did you guys see what happened in Ukraine where I think it just happened today or yesterday, where there was a drone flying over Putin's estate or whatever, and I guess they shot the drone down, and they were saying that the drone had explosives in it or whatever, and it was trying to kill Putin. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that, but, I mean, the dude's in a war, bro. Like when you're when you're head of a state causing war, like motherfuckers are gonna try to take you out. You're at war.
And there was questions brought up to where was it the U.S., was it Ukraine, or was it Russia? You know, just trying to create it. Yeah. So
starting shit. Yeah. What do they call it? False flag attack.
Yeah, false flag attack, and then they blame the U.S. and then it just, you know.
Like they were trying to make it their fucking, what was it? Bay of Pigs?
That kind of, yeah. What the bigger one is Hitler's brown shirts, where he'd have those, he set fire to his own shit and then blamed the other folks. He's like, can you believe these motherfuckers? And, I mean, even before, dude, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you got to know your history or else you're doomed to repeat it. Like, Nero did that with Christians, where he burnt down this whole city. He's like, you believe what these fuckers did?
It's like when Michael Scott let air out of everybody's tires.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. False flag attack on the office. Yeah. Here, that's my next video. Fucking Michael Scott, Adolf Hitler, and fucking false flag attacks. You're like, what the fuck is this? And then you listen and be like, huh.
Would you, and this is a question specifically for you, Brandon. You've seen those Google Nest homes where it looks like a tablet, but it's basically like the little Google Home speaker just with a screen.
Hmm.
And like, you know, like you, like if you had it in the kitchen, you could look up like a fucking, a cooking video to like help you like while you're fucking getting your shit prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And like, would you be okay if you could get an AI Papa or an AI Eddie? Like, you couldn't be like, hey, you know, hey, Papa, do you remember when? Because the AI is not going to have
all of it.
Yeah, it's not going to have a Papa memory, you know? But, like, if, like, you know, like, let's say, like, you know, Bobby's got, like, a project going. And she could be like, hey, Grandpa. And then fucking Eddie pops on the screen. And she could be like, how do I get the measurement of this and this for, you know, for this?
The AI image and voice will just be Eddie, give the Google results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit's kind of cool, I guess. I don't really.
That would be fun, yeah.
I mean, I just think there's so much. It's like when I hear something brand new getting, like, FDA approved, I'm like, how can you guys be so certain when no one's taken this for more than 6 months?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about this is, like, a lifelong thing. Like, the idea of social media, we saw how that all started out, and then you watch, like, that documentary on Netflix about how
fucking, or whatever.
Yeah, how gnarly it got, like, so quick. It's like, we're making changes to our life that are so broad and so giant that we don't really know.
We don't understand it yet.
It's like, yo, that sounds really cool, man. You don't want your dad to pop up and give you the recipe you just looked at? I'm like, that sounds cool, but what do I really know about the psychology? Like, death is a fucking major thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of shit. Maybe you're not trying to buffer the pain and the suffering due to loss, because those are the things that make you, that make you recalibrate your vertical living. You know what I mean? Like, you start rethinking life things and rearranging your hierarchy of, or, you know what I mean? Like, the things that you take the most serious. But if that's dampened up because once whoever is gone is just going to be on your screen, basically the same person, you just can't high-five them anymore, like, maybe that broadening out of that pain long-term, human-wise, isn't a good idea.
Sometimes I think just, because I have dreams about my grandpa, and I have dreams about dead people sometimes. And I think that's enough, just having dreams and being there. And
that's what I mean about nature and, like, restoration. It's like, there's already that. So I have a conservative nature. So I think, like, I don't know what the pluses and minuses are there over the long term.
Yeah.
It sounds dope, but like I said, maybe buffering out some of that pain isn't a good idea. Maybe world changes come from individuals that have these big changes of heart, changes of perspective. Like people that lose people to cancer get involved in like cancer shit. You know what I mean? Like now you donate, or now you donate time, money, whatever you do. You're trying to contribute to this issue that you experienced, and a lot of that fire in yourself comes from that pain that you had to endure. Well, if you're not letting yourself have that full-fledged pain, then maybe the response isn't going to be appropriate, and now we're not going to have proper change, proper realignment, proper reorientation, because we lack the pain and the suffering that's necessary to make those changes in an individual. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It sounds fine. I'm down for it. Like, on the surface, it's like, yeah, dude, fuck yeah. I want to hear my dad give me recipes.
You know what's weird? I don't know how this just popped in my head during this, but, like, it made me think of, like, how ass backwards, like, everything is right now because, like, we're public citizens, but the government knows more about us than we know about the government. And the government, they're public servants to us. So we should know everything about them. But we don't know anything about them. They don't disclose anything about them. But they know everything about us.
That's way ass backwards. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, dog. I've read enough of the Founding Fathers. Like, their regular books, some standard biographies, their actual, like, letters back and forth to each other. Like, those are the best, man. You really want to... I think I've said it before, man. You really want to know what somebody thinks. You, like, read a biography. We want to know about Elon Musk. You read a really good biography about him. You really want to know about Elon Musk? Read his emails. Right. You know what I mean? And that's basically like what those old, you know, I bring it up all the time, that famous book that has all the letters between Thomas Jefferson, Abigail Adams, and John Adams. You know what I mean? Like those three during the founding of the nation, they had like back and forth that were like...
Thomas Jefferson was like, yeah, I'm fucking my new slave.
See? Mm. Shit like that.
Right.
Nah, that's internet shit. But the point is, you really want to know these people. You read their personal stuff.
Yeah, and then as soon as you get the chance to, like Hillary, they just get erased. You know? And if you think about it, we knew more, a lot about the government, and the government knew a lot less about us before the CIA was introduced.
Well, no, I was just saying, like, you read enough of the Founding Fathers stuff, and you realize that, like, if they were walking around right now and they saw that I just had to pay $28 a piece for these fucking death certificates that you need to shut down your bank account, your insurance. Like, you know what I mean? Like they just see all the bureaucracy and all the money changing involved. I think they'd pull some Jesus shit and start flipping tables and be like, "You guys are fucking doing this wrong. This is not what this whole thing was about." Like the overarching federal government that lures over states, over state rights. Like that's. Yeah. That'd be fucking insane to all of them right now. They'd be like, hold on, dude. You let this little D.C. town, which isn't even a real fucking place. It's its own this like weird little district. That little town is deciding shit that happens in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and East L.A., and fucking, you know, Manhattan. Like, those are three so different fucking places. So how are you going to have, like, an umbrella...
Amen.
System over like these three, they don't even speak the same language. Keep going. It's funny like that. Like that, those, I'm telling you. And people know this. This is the guys that are like those hardcore, like foundational libertarian guys that are just like, leave me the fuck alone type shit. Like they'll talk about this kind of stuff till they're blue in the face. But yeah, we're not doing it according to the original paperwork. That's for sure.
Not at all. Because, like I said, we are private citizens. The government should not know anything about us. But the NSA is spying on us and giving the government information about every single human.
Get your militia ready, Brian.
You know, and you know, one little weird thing that I heard, too, is that there was this guy that started this website about if things go awry, where you can put your name in where you live, and it's for you, if anything goes awry, you know where to go, because people have the same, you know, like where you can build a new community, you know, like if the internet went out, you could go and go there. Well, the FBI, the guy that started this website to put all these people together if internet went down, they considered him a threat to America.
Dude, the Waco, FBI, Texas shit is some real interesting shit, dude, because the way I remember it as a kid was like this crazy cult of people that were like fucking with kids, and now the government had to go break it up when it like that wasn't the fucking case at all, dog. Like those people were happy to be there. You know what I mean? Like no one was really that upset about the community. It's the fact that this Koresh guy was like, We're going to do what we want around here. And they did some, they had illegal guns. And instead of just walking up to the door and being normal with them and asking them, like, hey, what about these guns I've been hearing about and figuring it out? Like, government showed up heavy.
Yeah.
And they fucking lasted, bro. They won the first, like, they won a shootout. Regular, that's what it's, that makes me laugh when people go, you know, you talk about the right to bear arms against a shit government, tyrannical government, and people are like, oh, you think if the government really wanted to, they can't just steamroll you? It's like, you can hand a couple of contemporary, like, stories, like, events that happened recently where, like, militias did not give up, and they did fucking fine.
And you're also taking away from the people that are a part of the FBI, whatever. They also have the same beliefs as the militia that they're fighting against. So a lot of those people probably would side with the militia.
Well, that's the part that I think is, like, interesting, because when you talk about, like, well, okay, well, maybe if local police show up, you and the homies can defend the mansion. If, you know, SWAT comes by, you guys may be able to keep okay. But, like, if the army shows up with tanks and shit, you're fucked. I really think what you're saying is true, though. We're like, there's enough of the people, if given, if the story comes out properly and you don't hear it all skewed and fucked up, that there's a lot of high-end government generals and guys like of that nature that would be like, nah, dude, I'm not fucking rushing them. What exactly. did they do?
Right.
What did they do? They just wanted to read their... Here, that's how I see it, dude. Like, they're it's going to be a like compounds of like...
So, but here's the thing, though. Like, when shit like that happens, they don't send the fucking army right away. They send the fucking guys that do two Saturdays a month with the fucking National Guard to fucking see what's up.
That's what I mean. After a while... It will get to that high military space, but once it gets there, I think there's going to be enough people that actually side with just the people that are just defending their shit. Because that's how I see it. If you try to like look at indicators of how things are going, and then you look, I don't know, like end times ideas of government and religion, it'll be compounds of religious people and it'll be like, yo, you guys can't read your stupid fucking book around here no more. And they're going to be like, no, we want this book around. And then it'll start a fight.
A huge fight, yeah.
That we lose.
And Florida's already getting rid of books.
I heard that.
Florida?
Yeah. Yep.
What do you mean?
Getting rid of all kinds of fucking, like, it wasn't Florida, it was...
It was somewhere in the south.
Yeah, it was somewhere in the south. I think it was Florida that got rid of...
Iowa, I think it might have been.
Iowa's not in the south. Got rid of Rosa Parks' biography.
I didn't hear that. Wow.
Yeah, the only stuff I heard about, like, stuff getting taken out of schools is, like, overtly sexual. People are like, yeah, I don't think my 9-year-old needs to know about masturbation and shit. Like, we'll handle that school.
I mean, thank you. When I was 9, I didn't learn about masturbation. I don't know where like what these new textbooks are all about, but
you know what I find really weird.
Where the fuck are you getting these?
Oh, I got them outside. I brought them. you know what I find really weird though is you never see. Like male turned female, you know, going in and trying to like, you know, dance with the kids or whatever. It's always the males that turn female that are trying to infiltrate. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I think you said it backwards.
You did. You just said the same thing twice.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you know what I meant though, right? Like, it's just weird that the males transitioning into females are the ones that are trying to push it. Like, trying to push the agenda.
I've yet to see anybody try and push anything. I've just seen people try and fucking, you know, argue. I wouldn't even say fight for, just argue for, you know, equal shit, you know.
I just find it weird that they say that they're the most attacked group in America, but they're actually the most protected. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Does it upset you?
I mean, yeah, it does. Why? It's because I'm getting sick of it. Like, it's been too long, and I don't think I'm the only one, because nobody cares. Nobody cares if you
want. I mean, you do if obviously you're bringing it up.
I don't care. I don't care if you want to be a male or female. I don't care if you want to be a female to a male. I don't care. Do what you want to do. I don't care if you want to be gay.
Just don't shove it in my face.
Right.
I mean, bro, religious people have been hearing that for like 50 fucking years.
It's not my face. I don't care if you shove it in my face. Just don't shove it down my kid's throat.
That's the part that everybody gets fired up. When you talk about legislation getting changed, it's all parents that are getting like a little like, hey, that's enough.
Yeah, it's parents. It's not the government.
You had your parade. You have your month. And, you know, it doesn't need to be in the fucking living room in my school. Like, right. It's fine. Do your thing. But
yeah. Nobody really cares anymore. We know that it's a part of life now. And we accept it.
So if one of your kids had a gay teacher, would you have a problem with it?
It depends on how they
talk. You don't
they
have
probably
kids.
Have.
I did have a gay teacher growing up.
But you don't have kids right now.
But I had a gay teacher growing up.
Yeah, I get that. I had a gay teacher too. She was a super dyke.
Yeah, and I'd never heard anything about it. I only knew because she lived in my neighborhood.
What's the difference? When you hear guys like Steven Pinker and those kind of dudes who write about this kind of stuff, they talk about how when they went to school back in the day, you never knew what your teacher thought. They were just there to give you the landscape and teach you like the process of thinking, second order thinking, transformation, how to look beyond your own fingertips.
Yeah.
You never knew what their position was. He goes, that's the big difference now. Now university teachers, and now it trickles down into, you know, general public school teaching, where it's like you know exactly where your teacher stands and they're kind of shitty with you if you don't stand with them. Like, that's a different pace completely.
I had a gay Filipino teacher in junior high when I went to Pacoima Middle School. If anybody's ever seen La Bamba, and when Richie's having that dream where the planes crash, it happened at Pacoima Middle School. But I fucking forgot his name. I know it started with an R, but he was, like, super, like, flamboyantly gay, you know? And, like, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because I've been around gay people, like, my whole fucking life. But he did not like me for some fucking reason. Even though, like...
That's weird.
You know, like, other people, like, other kids would, like, you know, kind of give him shit on the sly. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I never did. But for some reason, he did not like me.
Probably because you're Mexican.
He got me suspended because I was drawing fucking pictures of this fucking dude in school. With like a dick in his mouth and shit. That's the only time I ever got suspended.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah, my gay teacher was when I was in second grade. Never, you know, nobody knew. I knew, like I said, just because she lived in my neighborhood.
Did you guys ever have a fine ass teacher?
Of course, yes, Miss Matthews. Miss Matthews was like world famous.
Yeah. Well, you both had her?
I didn't actually have her in my class. She wasn't my teacher, but a bunch of the homies did.
Yeah, I had her in the same class with Mike Gill, Aaron Schmidt, Rachel Zamito. It was the best class ever. Like, she used to let us bring kids in that were ditching.
That's how I knew her. I was just going to say, I was like, she let your fucking friends, like, ditch in her class. It was wild. But she was, like, gorgeous.
She married a baseball player. I think we talked about her on this.
Well, podcast. Yeah, she would just. I mean, the thing about her was she. Yeah, she died.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, it was fucked up. The thing about her that I always thought was fucking badass was like she like half flirted back, dude.
Oh yeah, she did.
Like she'd fuck with you back, and you'd be like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, we would flirt heavy, but I knew that there was nothing there just because I knew she had a husband. And it was a baseball player, and I had no chance.
It was perfect. Older hot girl letting you know that you're not the one.
Yeah,
but she wasn't mean about it. Like,
right, yeah.
The one I always remember was Manny was talking about fuck that husband because she married a baseball player. She's like, fuck
like
that.
A pro player.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's like, Pitcher. Yeah, something about the baseball player and like, when are you gonna dump that fool? I got you, girl. I got you. And she's like, Manny, you'll never have a big enough bat. Like just little shit like that where you were like, whoa.
Well, and the best thing is too, she was sex ed teacher.
Oh,
yeah.
It was some movie shit, bro. It was funny. Yeah. But, yeah, she was hot. I had a weird crush on my fifth grade teacher, Miss Reed. She was like 22, which now I think of it like that's just a goddamn kid. She would I don't know, that was like the year I got like braces, you know, all that like weird shit that makes you all weird when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And she was just super chill about all that. And she's like, I love your smile and da da da, like just was super matter of fact about it. She was the one, she's like, Brandon, you light up a room. Ugly people can light up a room. Handsome people can light up a room. It's all about confidence and how you hold yourself. Like, it doesn't matter what you look like. And if people are that hung up on what you look like, you don't want them around anyways.
And Brandon went, ugh.
Oh, dude, I have one.
Walked around with wet underwear the whole day.
Bro, sitting there with an oyster in your lap. I have one picture of her and her arms around me. And I remember when she did that, being like a little boy and being like, holy shit, it's happening. And, you know what I mean?
She's going to touch my peen.
I wasn't even at that stage. This is what, fifth grade? This is still pretty little. I don't think I was thinking of her like that, but. Just the way she talked, she was the first person I ever heard say Tarjay. Because we were like, that's a cute shirt, Miss Reed. And she'd be like, oh, I got it from Tarjay. And then we finally figured out she meant Target. And we thought that was like, she's so fucking funny. Like, she was just the best. She like made the long term, like she made Oregon Trail like on paper and made it last like a year and a half. Like four big old groups in the class. She'd separate us all. Like, she just did cool shit. What was another? Was there any other teachers? I was like, damn, this bitch is fine. I don't think so.
Miss Matthews was the only one. But Miss Donnelly, too, my English teacher, I always thought she was the coolest teacher of all. Like, she would tell us about, like, how she would go to, like, the Grateful Dead concerts and how people would walk around with spray bottles filled with acid and just spray Hitching. People's faces and stuff. She said that she would, like, she was like, yeah, you know, I took a lot of LSD, you know, I went to Grateful Dead concerts, I did a lot of mushrooms, you know, I know what you're going through and stuff, you know. And this was when I was, like, in 10th grade where I was going through, like, my huge phase of just, like, you know.
Psychedelics.
Yeah.
And
she just, you know, she really made me feel comfortable. And one day, this is my first time ever taking Xanax, and I didn't take them for, like, 5 years after. But I took, like, two or three of them of just the 1 milligrams. It didn't feel anything, and I popped like 10 of them, and all of a sudden I was just out. And then she was like, you cannot go to your class, just stay here. And she left me in her class and just let me sleep it off.
Nice. Yeah,
there's a lot of that in Silverado, man. That Silverado era was pretty relaxed. Like, a lot of crazy shit went down, and teachers were kind of just like, all right, motherfuckers, chill out, go over here. Mr. Hawk was like that too. I think Mike had Hawk.
Yeah, and Miss Donnelly was the first teacher that, like a lot of teachers would tell me, like, how dumb I was or whatever, just because I was, like, I didn't pay attention. I never did homework or anything like that, but she was
the first. You just need to apply yourself.
Yeah, but she was the first teacher to ever tell me, you are very intelligent, you are very smart, you just don't apply yourself. And she told my parents that, too. She was like, if he just applied himself, he could get straight A's, you know? And she was the first person to see that in me, the first teacher to see, you know, like my possibilities in me, you know.
And, yeah, that kind of made stuff's me feel a real big good. Deal, man.
Yeah, that made me feel, and I never forgot her ever. I still talked. I actually, matter of fact, I talked to her last week on Facebook. We had a nice little conversation. She looks a lot like Pam from The Office.
That's nice. Yeah. Was she like, are you applying yourself?
No. We just kind of got more into like, just like, hey, how you been doing? You know, like.
I had my my art teacher tell me that, I could be valedictorian if I showed up to class consistently, or if I didn't show up high.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she. Yeah, that's pretty.
I was like,
yeah,
you're probably right. I was like, well, I'm not stupid, you know?
Bro, I had to hear that shit all the time. Potential, bro? I hated that word when I was a kid.
I liked it because I knew that I had potential, and I knew that I didn't apply myself. So when somebody told me that I had potential, it made me feel good because I knew that I had it. I just didn't use it because I was smoking weed every day, and I just didn't care, you know?
Yeah, there was just the weird thing about, like, getting the like, to me, it was just, like, paperwork. Yeah. I'm like, all you guys said I'm smart, so what's the fucking problem?
Right.
Like, well, you have to get the diploma. And I was like, for what? Like, it just nothing. There wasn't any, like, adults in the house that were like, hey, this piece of paper matters. It shows that you did something, and you can be trustworthy with responsibilities, and now this paperwork's going to turn into university paperwork, and then you can turn that into a job one day. Like, no one laid out that little, like, structure in a real meaningful way that resonated with me to make me want to give a shit. I was just like, bitch, everybody knows I know shit.
You know what's weird about
what's the problem?
You know what's weird about Silverado is we had very few people. What do you call them? There was, like, I think only three people, and it was alphabetically. They had, like, they were psychologists or whatever, psychiatrists, and they would help you navigate what your grades were and how you could, you know, get your grades up and what you had to do. But I never saw any of them until my senior year.
That's why I dropped out, dude. I didn't even on my life. I don't. Yeah, I did not. I never understood. Like, I didn't know about credits. I didn't know any of that shit.
Yeah.
Until I met one in the beginning of junior year, or the end of sophomore year,
same
and they gave me the breakdown, and I was like, "Then what the fuck am I doing here?" And they were kind of like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, "I'm not coming back." And then Mike passed me up on the street. He used to pick me up. He used to drive by. I'd be starting to walk, and then there's a corner that he turned that I walked down, and he went right by me. Like, you know, he probably had his chick or something. You know what I mean? And I remember just walking back to my house and being like, yeah, this is it. I'm not going to go back to school. And that's what happened.
You know, like, my mom was, like, pushing me, like, you have to graduate.
Yeah, same
and
here.
It was like a thing because, like, I was going to be the first boy on my mom's side and just the first overall on my dad's side. So that was like, she's like, you're graduating. But then it was like, I graduated.
Out of all the cousins and stuff?
Cause yeah.
Like, oh, I was going to say, I was like, her brothers did good in school. Like, doesn't fucking.
No, I'm talking about the grandkids.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it was like, okay, so I graduated, like, after I graduated, there wasn't, like, okay, now what are you going to get your degree in, you know?
Yeah. My senior year, I was considered a sophomore with how many credits I had. And I started going over, and so I ended up doing I ended up doing 10 classes a day my senior year, and then my mom helped me out with the videotapes. Like, she would watch the videotapes because she knew that I was working hard and I was going to school every day. I stopped smoking weed my senior year.
We used to make fun of Brian. We're like, Brian fucking graduated because his mom's adult.
But it really wasn't, though. It really wasn't. She only helped me.
Nah, yeah, we were just making fun of you. Because we knew she was doing some of them and we're like, this motherfucker.
She was watching the videos, but I would go in and I would have to take the test and I passed all the tests. So, but I was doing 10 classes a day. Yeah. I would finish school and then I would go do four more classes at night school.
Our 20th reunion just went by and you didn't go.
I know. Well, I only knew a couple people that went though.
Henry Cejudo looks like a little boy with a beard.
He is, bro. These guys, what, 125 or something crazy?
He's just like so tight. He's got like that fucking that little kid Mexican hair.
Yeah, the floppy
front. Yeah, yeah. He battled a very, very bad depression, right?
Henry?
Yeah. Yeah, he for about like 2 years he was really bad. That's why he was off for a while.
Until he did ayahuasca.
Oh, speaking of which, I think for my 45th, might even be for my 44th. I'm going to go on an ayahuasca retreat in South America.
I'm going. Yeah. I'm going with you.
It's going to be like a week-long thing.
I'm going with you.
Because it's not that fucking, I mean, like, it's not that much money.
Like but you're going to go to like a real shaman.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going. I'm going with you.
Like, because I need to do that before, you know, it's all over.
I'm going with you, dude. Count me in, okay?
All right.
I'm 100% down. Like, I'm not going. I'm going. I am going with you. Because I've always wanted to do that, too. I've always wanted to go to a real place in the middle of the woods that does it legit.
I was looking for a place out here. They don't fucking have anybody out here.
They have a few places, but they're not as legit as, like, if you were to go to, like,
the real areas. That's so fucking funny, dude. You know what's so funny about that? Like, Because you always say, I want to go to like a legit shaman. All those guys do different shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just framework. So when you're going to go all the way to the Amazon, there's not no fucking difference than the guy up the street at the sweat lodge.
But it's the trip. It's just the being around, being in the atmosphere where they've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. Yeah, like
and it's been in a place where they make the shit, you know?
Right, where they get the actual stuff.
Yeah.
They get it right off the plant. It's brand new. It's not shipped. It's not like 20 days old, you know? It's not, you know, it's right off the plant. And it's mixed right away, and they have shamans that have been doing this that has gotten passed down to them from generation to generation to generation. It's not like a new shaman that just figured out how to do it and is getting it imported from where you're going to go to get it. You know what I mean? It's the real deal. And they know how to guide you. You know what I mean? Not saying that these people in America where they do have shamans that can guide you, but it's just a different experience because you're actually in the area where the stuff is from, where they've been doing it for generations, generations and generations.
Yeah, it was just something I was looking into, and I was like, yeah, I definitely want to do that.
Yeah, me too. I've been wanting to do that for about 12 years. 13 years, yeah. I've been really interested in that.
Should we talk a little wrestling? What's going on in wrestling?
Oh, wait. I thought you had a question you wanted to ask us about pop music.
I don't remember.
Yeah. You wanted to ask us like...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
What is your guys' favorite like commercially successful? Like I'm talking about always got radio play rap song.
Like from any genre, because we're underground.
Well, if it's underground, it probably wasn't on the radio.
Right, exactly. But for me and Brandon to like a commercial song is rare.
I mean, dude, fucking Bone Thugs and Harmony, that Crossroads song was, that one like Grammys and shit.
Well, Crossroads, yeah. that was one of, like, that was like probably, I think, my third hip-hop song that I fell in love with. And that was the first single I ever bought in my life. And then that's when I found out that you could buy tapes. Because I thought that the only way that you could get music is if you called it in on the radio and recorded it after you requested it. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
Yeah, so Crossroads, that was the first one that I bought. No, actually, when I found out about it, it was that white rapper that... Insane, oh, you know what I'm talking about? Like the,
oh man, the Canadian cat?
Snow?
Yes, yeah, Snow.
Informa?
Yeah, yeah. My parents got me that single for Christmas, and then I found out, oh my gosh, you can actually buy these. And then Crossroads came out, and then I said, can you give me Crossroads? And I got my Crossroads, and then that, and then. Because I didn't know the album.
After you ordered it on the box 30 times in a row, and your dad got the cable bill and was like, what the fuck is this?
I didn't know how music worked at the time because like my parents weren't really musical, so I didn't
know. Did they have the box in California?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that was the shit.
Yeah, but I didn't know that albums existed. I just thought it was just, you know, songs by people.
That's so funny, bro, because my parents had, like, albums that they would put on.
We just listened to the radio.
Like, if anybody listening... ever watch the box,
you're the best.
And like around like 2:30 or 3 p.m like on a weekday there was a Danzig video that wasn't Mother, it was probably me.
That's mm-hmm. fucking hilarious.
Yeah it was really weird. So like it took me a long time, like, see, because so I fell into hip-hop on my own. Like I didn't have an influence to tell me about hip-hop until later on in life. So my first experience with hip-hop was Hip Hop Hooray. Well, actually it was OPP, and then it was Hip Hop Hooray. And then Hip Hop Hooray got me...
What does OPP stand for, Brian?
Other People's Pussy. But I didn't know that as a kid. I was like 8 years old at the time. So, and then all of a sudden, you know, I started getting older. You know, I loved the R&B, like I was telling you. I loved Waterfalls, you know what I mean? I loved TLC. And then I think I was in about sixth grade, and then my brother had his friends come over, and they were like, you listen to some weak music. And then Jose put me on like Wu-Tang. That's when he put me on like all these fucking like dope cats.
Tupac's over here.
And then he ended up putting me on cannabis. But I always listened to Tupac, though. Tupac was, because my brother had a Tupac album. And it's funny because, you know how people say that an album can be a soundtrack to your life?
Yep.
Of course. All Eyes on Me is literally a soundtrack to my life because I listened to Tupac's All Eyes on Me while I was playing Mario Brothers. So when I was in eighth grade, when I would listen to Tupac, All Eyes on Me, I would think of me playing Mario. But then in ninth and 10th grade, I was listening to All Eyes on Me and I gained a new experience with All Eyes on Me. And so like, and All Eyes on Me is the one album that has that I've consistently played throughout my life where I've had different experiences to where when I listen to All Eyes on Me now, I have like four different areas of my life where I can look back into and just reminisce on.
You want
to
know a fun fact about me? The first time I ever heard Tupac. So everybody remembers those fucking CD clubs where you can get like 20 CDs for a penny.
Yeah.
So my Uncle Bobby let me order some, like, because like he ordered some CDs, but like he, you know, he couldn't think of 20 that he wanted. So he let me get like five. Two albums that I ordered. One was Bell Biv DeVoe.
Okay.
The other one was Digital Underground.
Oh.
And that was the first time I ever heard Tupac because he was on their album.
Wow. Yes, yeah, see, yeah, so you were a couple years older than me, so you had the opportunity. Yeah. Sometimes I wish I was a little bit older.
You know, I wish I was a little bit older. I wish I was
older. Hey, Skilo's ill, dog. Don't ever shit on Skilo.
Hey, I wish I was a little bit taller, too.
I was lucky with all that, dude. My mom and dad had good-ass music on all the time, and my cousin's, like, literally 10 years older than me. So, like the fact that you didn't hear of Wu-Tang until high school is fucking crazy to me.
No, that shit was in the house. Seventh grade was the first time I heard
Wu-Tang. Even still, you know what I mean? Like I said, Ty is, he's literally 10 years older than me. So when I was five, like I remember hearing Nas. I remember watching my older cousin's friends losing their fucking mind to Nas.
Yeah.
Because it was so different and fast and lyrical, and it was just such a different vibe than that regular eight count. Here we go, we rap today, and this is how we rap today. But
I take pride in finding hip-hop on my own, though.
You know what I mean? Of course. I mean, everybody has that band or whatever. We were driving home yesterday, and a song from an old Modest Mouse album came on, and I told Liz, I was like, Liz, you know something weird? If you wanted to just know me so much better, you would listen to this album and God Loves Ugly, that Atmosphere album, and be like, just listen to these songs and you'll just know me better.
Yeah.
Like, really listen to how he's talking about the world, how he's talking about relationships, girlfriends, you know what I mean? Like, just all of that. You'll just know me better if you just understand these two albums.
Yeah. And B, I loved hip-hop so much, bro. You know nobody in high school knew anything more about hip-hop than me. Like, I took pride in how much I loved hip-hop.
Bro, I'm telling you, you should be one of those assholes that has the review fucking YouTubes and make your ad revenue, and you should be a pillar of that little community.
I know, I could be.
You've been doing that shit for free your whole life. Brian was, like, the first dude with, like, a fucking
the burner.
Yeah, burner, like, at his house, dude. So he would, like, make way before, you know, everyone eventually got a burner and started making CDs, but Brian was on that shit early.
I was selling mad CDs in high school.
Just making mixtapes of fucking shit you never heard before.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I got a couple playlists now that I listen to, like, when I'm at, you know, working by myself.
Yeah.
I got a pop up playlist that consists of like Pink Floyd, Santana, War, like, you know, those types. I have an Eddie playlist now too.
Nice.
That's like, you know, Kiss, Zeppelin,
Doors,
like all that. You know, because it's like, it's my time where I'm in the office by myself, and I want to either listen to music with my dad or with Eddie.
I have a question.
Okay. I get like that.
I got a question. So what's one album that you can put on at any time and it always puts you in a good mood?
Dark Side of the Moon.
What about you, B?
Always a good mood.
Yeah, no matter what. You put it on, you'll be in a good
mood. I mean, you know what's weird about me and songs, bro? Like, a lot of songs actually make me, like, sad. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and I like that. Like, there's songs that make that, like, fuck me up a little bit. And, like, what's an album that always has an effect on me?
An effect.
The famous Modest Mouse album, the one that they with Float on it. Remember the one where they actually got famous for a little bit?
I never listened to Modest Mouse.
Bro, that guy is fucking amazing.
Oh, well, yeah. Float on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, that one, and you can put that on one or whatever. Bro, he's got a song, Bukowski, and I already knew who Charles Bukowski was because I was like, I don't know, man. My dad and my mom, like, were some of the things I look back on. I'm like, fuck, were you guys thinking, bro? Like, I was a kid. But then I think of, like, of a story I'm talking about right now where that song came out, Modest Mouse is on some, like, hipster shit before there was hipster shit, like cool guys like got into that and they wanted to know what's this Bukowski, what's the, because it was a weird name and everybody turns out to be a little bit more like Bukowski, and like people are like, what is this? And I thought I was so fucking cool
because I already knew exactly who he was
and what Isaac Brock, the singer of Modest Mouse, like I already knew what he was talking about. And Turns out to be a little bit more like Bukowski, but who would want to be such an asshole? Like, that's the lyrics, you know what I mean? And they had that Mickey Rourke movie, Barfly, that's about him. And I had that, my mom had that VHS, so that was like a thing I had. I always had, the same way you were with hip-hop, I was always like that with like maybe videos and art and stuff.
I'd always have something in my backpack,
like a DVD, or I'd be like, you need to watch this show.
Dude, you and your mom put me onto the best movies of all time.
Yeah, my mom is for sure like a movie, like she knows good shit. Like I was lucky enough to sit in the, sometimes I was like, damn, like we went and watched American Beauty in the fucking theater. Look when that fucking movie came out, dog. That's like, crazy. I'm a kid for that. And we went to the movies, saw it, blew our mind, and we just waited in there for the next one to start. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to wait that hour before the next one.
That's when, on a school day, bro.
Like, we were just sitting there tripping, like, whoa, that movie, like, changed me. And we're like, we're going to sit and rewatch it. Like, that's shit I used to do with my mom. And I think my taste and understanding of like movies and storytelling and narrative and character development, all that kind of shit comes from that thing. But I always, the same way you had like pride in like finding things and showing people shit, like I always thought I had a backpack full of DVDs. I'd be like, bro.
Yeah, that was your thing. You Frisky put me on Dingo so many DVDs, fucking, Doug.
It's Always Sunny. It's always before shit like blew up too. That's what I always
got.
Now I'm a dick about it, bro. Like I'll be like right now. What was the one I was like, watch, this guy's gonna be Prof was the last one. Me and dude, like 2 years ago.
What about
like,
that new song he did with Redman?
Bro, we said it years ago. I was like, yo, he's doing it. He's going to be famous. And that's just music. I'm not really good at that, but there's mostly like just pop culture in general. Jordan Peterson was one of the bigger ones where once I started seeing his shit before he got famous with that Bill C 316 sort of thing.
Were in Jordan Peterson before he even got, before anybody even knew who he was.
Yeah, I bought you that book before he even
way before knew who he was famous. Yeah, dude, Maps of Meaning. That's his like OG book. All his 12 Rules for Life, Antidote to Chaos. Like that's all his popular shit. Dude got me Maps of Meaning, his like heavy, dense, super hard to fucking read unless you already know like Carl Jung. Like you already have to have like a pretty good primer before you can jump into that book confidently and get through it and draw something from it.
Yeah. You know what I just thought? Like how I explained how Tupac is, or the All Eyes on Me is like a soundtrack to my life. I feel like, you know how when you die, people say that like your life flashes in front of your eyes. I feel like the memories that I have with All Eyes on Me,
those are gonna be
the things that flash in front of my eyes.
You're probably right.
But it's funny though, because All Eyes on Me isn't the album that I put on to get happy. It's Machiavelli.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Kalukati in this.
So, going back to the original question.
We always do that.
My song that, to this fucking day, if I hear it, I'm like, fuck yeah. In the club.
A 50 song? No shit.
Yeah.
I was never really that much into on Into the Club. Mine was I think it was Thornton Bowles, the one Cadillac Real,
yeah, Luda
Spills, yeah.
That's how I explained Prof to Liz back in the when I first found him. I was like, he's kind of like a newer Ludacris, where it's just like really funny, outlandish party music.
Yeah, dude, I fucking love Prof. Like,
he's really
like,
good.
When you tried to show me Prof, I already knew who Prof was, but I didn't like listen to him as much as you did. And then when you started showing me more shit, that's when I started getting more into him, and I was like, oh my god, yeah, this one.
The first time I remember I heard that fucking Christmas song, and I was like, who is Christmas, bro? Yes.
And then Grandpa the Mr. Rogers kissed me song.
On the lips. Ew.
Yeah.
It's such just a white trash Christmas song, bro. It's so good.
My family creepy as it gets. Grandpa kissed me on the lips. Ick.
Dude, and you know what's so perfect?
It's Christmas.
Hey, and you know what's so perfect is how on his new single he had Redman? Because he's so Redman and Method Man.
No, man, yeah. When he first said that he was going to have that collaboration, I was like, what a dream.
This is perfect, yeah.
Yeah, what a perfect little back and forth these two are going to have.
Yeah. And it was brilliant.
It was fun. He's great. The. I don't know, dude. Like, what's a popular hip-hop song that... To me, the way you asked the question, it made it sound more like what's a popular rap song that you're almost embarrassed that you really, really like?
Mine, I think, is probably the song that they... after Biggie died, that Diddy did with...
Mace?
No, it wasn't Mace. It was a chick. It was how they kind of celebrated his death.
Oh, didn't he do that with fucking Faith Evans?
Yeah, that one. I'm kind of embarrassed to like that song for some reason.
You know what mine is? It's not even like a traditional hip hop song, but I am embarrassed that I like it so much. It's that 21 Pilots song.
I love 21 Pilots.
Some of their shit is fucking dope. I'm like, they're so good. And then I'm like, you're such a loser.
Yeah. 21 Pilots is really good.
I saw this fucking TikTok where this guy is looking at, like, he goes outside, he's looking up. He's like, oh, look, that cloud looks like a potato. And the fucking cloud looks down and he goes, oh, look, it's a fucking loser.
That's fun.
So, one thing I wanted to bring up, because I know we talked about the Skinwalker Ranch show before.
Fuck,
remember?
Yeah.
Okay, so get this. So,
weren't you guys going to go camping there or some shit?
Trying.
We're not allowed to because it's you can't get in that area. So when the show first started, they had an astrophysicist. I forget his name, but if I see his face, I'll remember his name. But when the government found out that he was doing a TV show at Skinwalker Ranch, the government had him sign an NDA saying that he couldn't disclose that he was a part of the government. So everybody that was at Skinwalker Ranch on this television show doing all these experiments did not know that he was a part of the government and disclosing all the information that he found when they were doing these researches on Skinwalker Ranch for the television show.
You say government like Marjorie Taylor Greene says government.
But he was the head of the UATP, which is paranormal activity that goes on in America, and he was the head of that. So every time he would find something out that happened at Skinwalker Ranch on the television show, he would go and tell the government right away about what they found out. And he disclosed that on this on the new season. He said, you know, I'm sorry, like I had an NDA, I couldn't disclose to you that I was working with the government the whole time that I was doing this with you. But I'm not a part of the government anymore, so now I can disclose this to you. How crazy is that?
I don't think that's how NDAs work.
No, an NDA means you cannot disclose anything. But now that he wasn't a part of the government anymore, the NDA,
But here's the thing. if the government didn't want them talking about it, why would they have him sign an NDA that ends?
Because he wasn't a part of the government when he
could. But I don't think the government would do that. I think it's just, you're not going to talk about this.
You're onto something.
Ever.
You're onto something.
And the interesting part about that is that a place like Skinwalker Ranch, with all the apparent supernatural things that happen at this land, that the government would be that, like, interested. If it's all hogwash, right, if it's all just tinfoil hat bullshit,
why would the
then why are they all over it?
And the fun and the craziest thing is, before 6 years before this, the government was involved in trying to figure out what was going on with it, with Bigelow and the aerospace Bigelow.
Bam Bam?
No. I forget his first name, but his last name is Bigelow, and he's very big into aerospace. And he's like one of the richest men alive. And he bought this land, and he got the government involved in trying to figure out what's going on. And then they ended up selling this land. And then after they sold this land, that's when they started making the TV show. And it's just funny now how at 2022, now the government is saying that they're going to start looking more into UAPs and all this stuff. And
they're setting up for Project Bluebeam, bro.
Right, exactly. That's my point. They're setting up for Project Bluebeam. And it's funny that it's on TV. And Ancient Aliens has been on TV for 20 years, 15
it's,
years.
You know what's crazy is, after that whole thing, and you kind of dig into Zachariah Sitchin, and you kind of learn that his translations are all fucking bullshit, and he's kind of making up the whole entire thing. And then you get into, like, Fingerprints of the Gods, and what's the German guy's name? I love his accent. Mm.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Donnikin.
Yeah, Donnikin.
Bro, this is all the kind of shit I read when I was like fucking 12. I loved this shit when I was a kid. But then you get older and you get into like some of the scholarly research and you're like, it's like the same thing that happened to Graham Hancock. It sounds fucking ill, but then you talk to people who are like really in the game that aren't just in it to fuck over Graham Hancock. They're just like, no, he's not right. Like, it's, you know, like this isn't how it went.
Have you seen the Graham Hancock thing on Netflix?
No, I haven't actually.
Well, watch it. You'll change your perspective.
Bro, I've been Bro, stop it.
You know what I was disappointed
in? There's nothing in that documentary that he hasn't fucking already been screaming about for fucking 20
years. You're right. You're probably right. And if you have read his books, you probably do now.
You know what I was super disappointed in? I got the audiobook version of Behold the Pale Horse. And that shit is just fucking William Cooper reading random fucking excerpts from the book.
Right. Well,
it's not the actual audiobook?
No, like, it's him reading his book, but just like a couple sentences.
Most of the book were documents from notes. The government.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not him talking about, it's just like, let's say that there's a chapter, right? Like, let's for the sake of it, say chapter 6.
Okay.
Right? Like, he'll just read, like, 2 or 3 sentences from chapter 6.
That's weird.
And then it's, like, next chapter. It's like, dude, I've read this book before. Yeah. Like, that's not it.
That's weird.
But I am on, like, hour fucking 9 of World War Z.
Oh, man.
You know what's funny is, like, because, like, I listen to it. Like, I tell Brandon, like, I'll go get high. I'll come back inside.
Oh, the best time.
I'll turn off my TV. I'll turn off my light, and I'll just let it play. And I fall asleep to it sometimes.
But your mind goes all over the place, huh?
And, like, you know, that's one thing I like about Audible is I can set a timer.
Time it.
Right.
So I'll set it for, like, an hour. You know?
And then you fall asleep. Yeah, and you can, yeah.
But, like, and I'm having, like, weird dreams, but they're not like zombie apocalypse dreams.
That's weird.
Yeah. But it's like, whatever.
Yeah, cool. And that's funny because I listen to like a lot of, I listen mostly Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli. And I go to bed to that a lot. And I usually fall asleep within 20 minutes. But like you said, I set it to an hour. So there's like 40 minutes of it that are subconsciously getting sent into my subconscious, you know what I mean?
Have you guys seen that that Pac docuseries on Hulu?
Oh my God, dude! I thought I knew everything about Pac.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you think you know everything about Pac,
I don't.
Watch this. Because I watched every single documentary on Pac. So I thought I knew everything. I started watching this. Bro, there's so much about Pac I didn't know. Let me give you a little tidbit, something that it won't ruin anything. But this motherfucker, at 16, before he was famous, had a fucking little blonde dyed streak in his hair. He had ripped jeans. Dude, he looked like a dude. His art school
video is fucking, I'm Tupac Shakur, and like you watch him and you're like, this is the thug life motherfucker everyone was afraid of.
Oh, when he was in art school?
Yeah, that's what I just said. His art school interview, he's such a fucking
But one thing that I noticed that might have slipped a lot of people's minds is that
like this he drinks guy, frog water?
No, but this guy, that Tupac was 30 years ahead of his time, because he was dressing and having dyed hair like these cats do now today. And he was doing that in the 90s before he was famous.
I mean, kids were doing that in the 90s. They didn't look like Pac.
Yeah, fashion is like cyclical in a way.
You have to watch. There's three episodes now, but you have to watch it, dude. It will bring a whole new perspective on Pac. Because Pac wasn't fake. Like, he was a real dude. Like, he just adapted to his environment.
All his early shit is like party fun stuff. Then he gets like mildly political, and then he turned into like a gangster. Yeah. Like, you watch this evolution of this guy.
Well, but I mean, he grew up in the ghetto. He grew up poor as fuck with a crackhead mama with no money. So he knew what it was like to be a real black man. You know what I mean? Like, for real. Like, it's legit. And then
he You didn't have a crackhead mama, you weren't a real black man.
And then he grew up. And that turned to anger because he got rich. And that's when he became gangster. So it makes sense why he was so angry at the time.
Henry Cejudo is Russell fucking Aljamain Sterling right now.
He's about to win this fight.
I think so, too. But, yeah, definitely watch that documentary. Even if you think that you've seen and know everything about Pac, this documentary brings a whole new... Because the Hughes brothers did it. And you know who the Hughes brothers are, right?
Yep.
Yeah. They did Menace to Society, and Pac jumped one of the Hughes brothers because he was supposed to be a Menace to Society. So they actually went and interviewed kids that he grew up with before he was famous. It's real deep. It's a great documentary to watch if you want to learn about Pac.
You may think you know Pac, but you have no idea.
Pac was exactly who he was whenever he was who he was in the moment. He was not fake. He was never fake. He was a gangster. He was a poet. He was a lover. He was everything that he was whenever he was. He was that person. You know what I mean?
He was an authentic person.
He was not, people could say he was a fake gangster. That motherfucker was not a fake gangster. He grew up around, his whole family was Black Panthers. You know what I mean? He was a real gangster. And when it goes a lot into Afeni, and Afeni was just like a live wire. Did you know that Afeni represented herself in one of the biggest...
Yeah, didn't they tell her not to, and it was a terrible idea?
And she ended up winning. She was that good. Yeah, it's great, dude. Great fucking documentary, dude. Like, so if you ever thought that Tupac was soft and wasn't a gangster, this will prove to you that he was everything that he ever said he was. Even though he grew up even though he had different eras where he was a party person, where he was political, where he was gangster, he was all that wrapped into one.
And that's why there's classes about guys like that, because you read fucking Dear Mama and Brenda Got a Baby and all that. But then you hear, you know, tuck my bitch in that click you claim, fuck that. And you're like, who the fuck is this guy? Pick a lane. But that's what I love about like Christian narrative shit, where it's like, what do you mean pick a lane? David pulled off the craziest shit ever with Bathsheba, and he's still considered a guy that was one after God's own heart. You know what I mean? It just shows the multiplicity of, you know, people,
duality of
how
man,
gnarly we are, like just the different, the wide spectrum that we run in a lifetime. So who are we really?
Yeah. Great documentary. I recommend watching it. I asked Kevin too. I was like, hey, Kevin, did you, you know, because me and Kevin, Pac was like, oh, Cejudo lost.
I did not see that coming.
Me either.
I thought he did enough.
But yeah, me and
even
Kevin.
Joe's like, hmm.
me and Kevin have like an attachment to Pac. Like, you know, like that's like our thing, you know, like Pac. And I asked him, I was like, did you watch that? He was like, yeah, man. It was crazy. Like, yeah.
Brandon, do you and Lindsay have a music connection?
Bone Thugs and Harmony. We've been to Bone Thugs and Harmony concerts, a bunch of them together. She'll still call me Bone every now and then. Like, she'll come into the house, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was like a little nickname for each other for a long time.
I remember that.
Yeah, I think for me and Jovi and Lizzie, it's probably Santana.
Yeah. It's just something from the house. I mean, anytime Led Zeppelin comes on, we'll always think of the old man. Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, any of that early grunge, you know, Alice in Chains and Mother Love Bone and all that shit, all that Sub Pop early.
Brian, I got a question for you. Is there any type of musical influence that you want to put your kids onto?
Aesop.
I just want them to get a taste of all of it, dude. Like, I mean, I guess most kids have that kind of thing nowadays because, you know, there's so much of it available out there and it's not just kind of contained in what the radio allows out into the public. Like, you can find anything you want nowadays mm-hmm. pretty easy. I would love for them to have, like...
What foundation do you want to set them up with musically?
Just good music, dude. Like, I want them to appreciate Johnny Cash the same way they appreciate Aesop Rock. Or you know what I mean? Or just that kind of thing. It depends on what kind of people they are too, man. Some people just aren't like lyrics people. Like, I don't know, your kids might be different than yourself. So I think Bobby really enjoys lyrics.
You know what I mean? She's a hip hop head. She is. She's going to be. I can feel it.
It's just as long as it's something good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I like about, you know, I don't put on a ton of hip hop in the car, but I do put on, like, there's Brother Ali stuff that I think is super helpful for kids.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's got some really high-end, thoughtful shit.
Amen.
That Forest Whitaker song is so good. Like, every kid should wake up and listen to that song.
Yes, they should.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff. Just the imagery and just the way that Aesop Rock does his...
And Letter to the Government, too.
A couple of them. And his whole Morning in America album is, like, worth a listen to. Yeah. Even if I don't agree with a chunk of it, it's nice to listen to with the kids and be like, hey, this is pretty gnarly, right? What do you guys think of this? What do you think he's trying to say? You know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff like that.
I had a little morning...
Oh, fight?
Not morning. Afternoon when I picked up the kids from the bus.
Is that Sean O'Malley trying to fight him?
Yeah.
I mean, O'Malley probably beats Aljamain.
Maybe. He's way bigger.
Got a way longer reach, too.
Aljamain is definitely more skilled.
Yeah.
I also feel like that security guard will beat the shit out of both of them.
Right.
So I had a little, you know, I picked up the kids from school. Bobby's doing her homework. Eli didn't have any. And Eli's into heavy metal right now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He is. Oh, it's funny.
And I was like, you want to listen to some music, buddy? And he was like, yeah. And I was just putting on like Corrosion of Conformity, Pantera, like stuff like that. And like you could see like the little suggested at the bottom, you know, and he was like, I want to watch that one. And it was a Tool video. And so we just went for like 45 minutes watching Tool videos.
What?
It was the best fight. Like it was just me and him sitting on the couch and he was choosing.
And he was into it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I showed him Sober and that was the last one. And he was was like, right, I'm good.
my nephew Ryder is so funny. He loves country. Like, he sings all the country songs and stuff. It's so funny. And it's, yeah, man. I think he's going to be like a country kid.
Those kids are legit.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's about going to do it for us. You want to
talk a little about wrestling?
Nah. We'll do it next time. But. Boom. We're going to get out of here for now.
We're going to get more on track.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we said last time.
Yeah, but there was a lot of negative things that happened.
Yeah, but there was also a lot of, like, in-between stuff that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have made a better effort.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Shit. I get lazy and don't want to fucking do it sometimes, too.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, we'll catch y'all later.
Fun uncle.
Hopefully, you know, it won't be as long, but... I mean, if it does... Fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't doing anything.
Later.